Welcome to the Nickel Plate Nordic Podcast. In this podcast, all the voices you hear are computer-generated. We use the latest AI tools to examine the information to bring you easy-to-understand insights of these publications. Visit our website at nickelplatenordic.org for info on our great club and trails and our great lessons for skiers new and seasoned, young and old. Now, let's glide into the conversation.
Okay, so weight loss. It's something I think a lot of us struggle with. We hear exercise is key, but how much is really enough? Like, do you have to practically live at the gym to see results?
Right. I think a lot of people struggle with that. And honestly, the answer hasn't always been super clear.
Exactly.
But there was a new study that might give us some much needed clarity on this whole aerobic exercise and weight loss thing.
Clarity is exactly what we're going for in this deep dive. A massive new study just came out, and it's looking like the most comprehensive analysis we have on aerobic exercise and its impact on weight loss, waist circumference, and body fat.
It's a huge e-study.
Absolutely massive. We're talking 116 clinical trials, nearly 7,000 people.
It's a meta-analysis published just this week in JAMA Network Open, so it really is the latest and greatest on the topic.
Okay, I'm already intrigued. Hit me with the highlights. What did they find?
Well, one of the big takeaways is that even small increases in aerobic exercise can make a difference.
Yeah.
Every 30 minutes of aerobic exercise you add per week is associated with a measurable decrease in body weight, waist circumference, and body fat.
So even if I just squeeze in a few short walks each week, I'll see some progress. That's pretty encouraging to hear. But what if I'm looking for like more significant changes?
That's where it gets even more interesting. They found that 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous aerobic exercise a week is the sweet spot for something they call clinically important reductions.
Okay, 150 minutes. So that's about 2.5 hours a week. That's, that's actually doable. But hold on, I've heard that more is always better when it comes to exercise. Like, is there a limit to how much benefit you can get?
It's not that simple, unfortunately. The study did show that more exercise generally leads to greater reductions, but only up to a point. You don't have to run a marathon every day to see results.
Makes sense. So 150 minutes is a good target for most people. But how hard do we have to push during those workouts? Does it matter if I'm like power walking or going for a full-on sprint?
Now you're thinking like a true deep diver. The study did look at exercise intensity. And guess what? Vigorous exercise, you know, that heart-pumping, sweat-dripping effort, seemed to have a greater impact on certain outcomes like body fat percentage and something called visceral adipose tissue.
Visceral fat. Yeah, that's one I haven't heard in a while. Can you remind me why that one's so important?
Of course. Visceral fat is the fat that surrounds your organs, deep inside your belly. And it's been linked to a whole bunch of health problems like heart disease, type 2 diabetes, even some types of cancer.
Yikes. So we're not just talking about fitting into our genes here. This is about protecting our health long term.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes this study so compelling. It shows that aerobic exercise can have a huge impact on our overall well-being, not just our waistlines.
This is already super interesting. But before we get too carried away with planning our new workout routines, what about the limitations of the study? Are there any caveats we need to keep in mind?
You're right. We got to look at the whole picture. The researchers themselves were very upfront about the study's limitations. One thing they pointed out is that the studies they analyzed had a lot of variety in participant characteristics, stud designs, the types of aerobic exercise used. Researchers call this heterogeneity.
Heterogeneity? That's a mouthful. Does that mean we should take these findings with a grain of salt?
Not necessarily. Even though there was variation, the vast majority of trials showed that aerobic exercise was positively associated with weight loss.
So the evidence is pretty strong that aerobic exercise is a good tool for weight management.
Absolutely. And it gets even more interesting when we look beyond the physical changes and look at the psychological benefits the study found.
Now that is something I'm really curious about. Let's dive into those details.
Okay, so the study also looked at quality of life. And they found that aerobic exercise was linked to improvements in both the physical and mental aspects of quality of life.
That makes sense. I mean, when I exercise, I definitely feel more energized, more mentally sharp. But is there like a scientific explanation for that?
Oh, there definitely is. When you do aerobic exercise, your brain releases these things called endorphins. Those are the feel-good chemicals, natural mood boosters. They can reduce stress, they can improve your sleep, and they can even help with anxiety and depression symptoms.
So it's like a natural mood enhancer, AND, a sleep aid, all in one. No wonder I feel so much better after a good workout.
It's a powerful combo, and the benefits go beyond just those immediate feel-good effects. Regular aerobic exercise has been shown to have long-term positive effects on mental health, too.
Wow, I knew exercise was good for you, but I had no idea it had such a big impact on our mental state. It seems like we're just scratching the surface of understanding all the benefits.
I think you're right. This study gives us a really good foundation for understanding how aerobic exercise and weight loss are connected, both physically and mentally. But there's definitely more to explore.
I'm already feeling super inspired to get moving. But before I do, I want to make sure we're covering all the bases. This study was all about aerobic exercise, but what about other types of activities like strength training, yoga, or Pilates? Do those offer similar benefits for weight loss and overall health?
That's a fantastic question, and it's one that researchers are definitely looking into. This particular study didn't look at those types of exercise specifically, but there's more and more evidence suggesting that they can also play a role in weight management and overall well-being.
Good to know. So it seems like a well-rounded approach to fitness might be the key, incorporating all different kinds of activities.
I think you're right. It's all about finding what works for you and creating a sustainable routine that you enjoy, because if you don't enjoy it, you're not going to stick with it.
Totally agree. It's all about finding those activities that bring you joy and make you feel good.
Speaking of feeling good, there's one more interesting thing about this study I think is worth mentioning.
Oh, tell me more.
It has to do with how they measured body composition. They didn't just use BMI, which could be misleading. They also measured things like waist circumference and body fat percentage.
Why is that so important? What's wrong with just using BMI?
Well, BMI is just a simple calculation based on your height and weight. It doesn't take into account your body composition, meaning the proportion of fat mass to lean mass. So someone with a lot of muscle mass might have a high BMI, even if they're very fit and healthy.
Okay. So by measuring waist circumference and body fat percentage, they got a more accurate picture of the participant's overall health.
Exactly. They actually went even further by looking at visceral adipose tissue, which is that harmful fat we talked about earlier.
So it's not just about the number on the scale, but what's happening inside our bodies.
Exactly. And that's what makes this study so valuable. It highlights how important it is to understand our body composition and focus on reducing visceral fat, not just overall weight.
This is all really insightful. It's clear we need to shift our focus from just losing weight to really prioritizing our overall health and well-being.
Couldn't agree more. It's about making sustainable lifestyle changes that support both our physical and our mental health.
This deep dive has been amazing. But before we wrap things up, I'm curious about specific types of aerobic exercise. Were there any that seemed particularly effective for weight loss or reducing visceral fat?
That is a great question, and it's one that the researchers actually addressed in their study.
Oh, really? I can't wait to hear this. Let's dive into those details in the next part of our deep dive. Stay tuned.
So when it comes to specific types of aerobic exercise, they actually found that a whole variety of activities were effective for weight loss and reducing that visceral fat. It wasn't really about the specific type of exercise so much as it was about, getting your heart rate up and challenging yourself.
So whether it's running, swimming, dancing, even just a brisk walk, as long as we're putting in the effort, we'll see those benefits.
Exactly. That's what's so cool about this research. It gives you the flexibility to choose activities you enjoy and make them part of your life in a sustainable way. It's not about forcing yourself to do something you hate just because it burns a certain number of calories.
Yeah, I love that. It takes the pressure off for sure. But were there any nuances in the findings related to intensity? Like, did they notice any differences between, say, moderate intensity activities like brisk walking compared to more vigorous stuff like running or HIIT?
That's a great question. And you're right on the money. They did look into that and found that while all forms of aerobic exercise were beneficial, those who did more of the vigorous intensity exercise tended to see slightly bigger reductions in visceral fat.
Interesting. So if reducing visceral fat is a top priority, maybe it's worth incorporating some higher intensity workouts into the mix.
It's a good takeaway for sure. But it's important to remember that everyone's different. What's vigorous for one person might be moderate for another. It's about finding your own sweet spot, where you're challenged but not overdoing it.
Right. Listening to your body is key, making sure you're adjusting intensity as needed.
Absolutely. Got to respect your body's limits.
Now, I remember you mentioned that the studies they analyzed varied in length. A lot of them were pretty short term.
Yeah, you got a good memory. Most of those trials were less than a year. Only a handful went beyond 48 weeks.
So we've got solid evidence for the short-term benefits of aerobic exercise, but we need more research to understand the long-term effects, especially when it comes to keeping that weight off.
Exactly. It's possible those benefits plateau after a while, or that folks need to tweak their routines over time to keep seeing results. Definitely something researchers should look into further.
Yeah, it is fascinating to think about how our bodies adapt over time and how we can adjust our routines for long-term success. This deep dive is really making me think about the big picture when it comes to health and fitness.
That's what it's all about. This meta-analysis gives us tons of great info to help us make better choices about our exercise habits. But at the end of the day, it's about using that knowledge to meet our individual needs and goals.
And that's where the whole personalized approach comes in.
Right.
What works for me might not work for someone else.
You got it. It's about giving people the power to take control of their health. This research gives us the tools, but it's up to us to put them to good use.
Couldn't agree more. Speaking of tools, I wanted to circle back to the psychological benefits of aerobic exercise. We talked about endorphins and those immediate feel-good effects, but I'd love to dig a little deeper into the long-term mental health impacts.
Oh, yeah, those are truly remarkable and often overlooked. People tend to focus on the physical stuff, but the mental and emotional benefits are just as important. You ready to explore those a bit more?
Absolutely. Lay it on me.
Okay, so we talked about endorphins, those natural mood boosters.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that. Aerobic exercise has also been shown to help lower stress levels by reducing cortisol, which is the stress hormone.
So it's not just about feeling good in the moment. It's about building a more balanced emotional state overall.
You got it. And that resilience extends to our mental health. Studies have shown that aerobic exercise can be just as effective as medication for treating mild to moderate depression. And it can help with anxiety and sleep, too.
Wow, I honestly had no idea the impact was that significant. It seems like we're only just beginning to understand how deeply connected our physical and mental well-being really are.
You're right about that. It's a fascinating area of research, and aerobic exercise seems to play a big role.
This is seriously eye-opening. But before we go too far down the psychological rabbit hole, I do want to circle back to the limitations we discussed earlier, those shorter-term interventions. Is there any research on the long-term psychological benefits of aerobic exercise? Like, do those positive effects actually last?
Another great question. Researchers are still working on this, but early evidence does suggest that the benefits can be sustained over time. It seems regular physical activity helps create a more resilient mental state that can help with stress and mood even years down the line.
That is encouraging. It seems like making aerobic exercise a part of your life really is a gift that keeps on giving. But from a purely physiological standpoint, what's happening in the brain that leads to those long-term mental health benefits? Does aerobic exercise actually change the brain's structure or function?
Now, that's where things get really wild. Research suggests that aerobic exercise can actually boost something called neurogenesis. That's the formation of new brain cells. It can also enhance something called neuroplasticity, which is the brain's ability to adapt and change. And these changes are most noticeable in the areas of the brain that deal with mood, memory, and learning.
So it's not just about feeling better temporarily, it's about actually improving the health and function of our brains over time.
You nailed it. Aerobic exercise is like brain food. It helps your brain grow and thrive.
This is blowing my mind. I had no idea. Just moving our bodies could have such a huge impact on the structure of our brains. It's like we can literally reshape our minds through physical activity.
I love that enthusiasm. And you're absolutely right. This research is so empowering because it shows us that we have way more control over our mental and physical health than we think we do.
This whole deep dive has been a total revelation. But before we get too carried away with all this newfound brain power, I want to make sure we hit all the key points of this research. You mentioned the researchers went beyond BMI to measure body composition. They also looked at waist circumference and body fat percentage. Can you explain why those measures are so important? What do they tell us about our overall health?
Of course. BMI is just a starting point. It doesn't give you the whole picture. Waist circumference and body fat percentage give us a much more accurate view of body composition and how it relates to health.
I'm all ears.
So waist circumference tells us about abdominal obesity. That's the fat that builds up around your waistline. And as we talked about earlier, this kind of fat is particularly dangerous because it's linked to a higher risk of chronic diseases. Heart disease, type 2 diabetes, even some cancers.
So it's not just about how we look, it's about the actual health risks of carrying extra weight around our middles.
Exactly. A large waist circumference is a warning sign, even if someone's BMI is considered normal. It's a way better predictor of health risks than BMI alone.
That's really important. It seems like we need to shift our focus away from just the number on the scale and look more at how fat is distributed in our bodies. Prioritize reducing that abdominal obesity.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Oof.
It's about looking beyond the surface and focusing on what truly matters.
Yeah.
Our overall health and well-being.
And what about body fat percentage? Where does that fit in?
Body fat percentage tells you about the proportion of fat mass to lean mass in your body. Lean mass is everything else. Muscle, bone, organs, water. A healthy body fat percentage depends on your age, sex, and how active you are. But in general, a higher body fat percentage means a higher risk of health problems.
So it's not just about losing weight. It's about losing the right kind of weight, right? We want to reduce that fat mass, but hold on to or even increase our lean mass.
Exactly. And that's another reason why exercise is so key. It not only helps you burn calories and lose fat, it also helps you build muscle, which is super important for overall health and a good metabolism.
You know, this is really making me rethink my approach to fitness. It's not about fitting into a certain size. It's about building a body that's healthy and strong for the long haul.
I love to hear that. It's all about shifting that focus from how you look to how you feel and function. Embrace that holistic view of health.
This whole deep dive has been amazing. But before we wrap things up, I have one more burning question. We've talked a lot about the benefits of aerobic exercise, but are there any downsides? Like, can you exercise too much? Is there a point where it becomes harmful?
That's a really important question, something to think about carefully. Exercise is great, but you can have too much of a good thing. If you're constantly pushing your body without enough rest and recovery, that's called overtraining, and it can lead to some not so good things.
Okay, tell me more about the risks of overtraining. What should I watch out for?
One of the most common signs is fatigue. If you're always feeling wiped out, even after getting enough sleep, it could mean you're pushing too hard.
That makes sense. Our bodies need time to rest and repair. What are some other red flags?
Keep an eye out for things like muscle soreness that just won't go away, your performance going down instead of up, getting sick more often, feeling moody or irritable, or just losing that motivation to work out.
So it's not just physical, it can affect you mentally and emotionally too.
Totally. Your mind and body are connected. Overtraining can really throw things off balance.
This is really good to know. It's easy to get caught up in that more is always better mindset, but you have to listen to your body. Prioritize rest just as much as pushing yourself.
You got it. Finding that balance between challenge and recovery is key. Pushing yourself, but not overdoing it.
This has been so insightful. Is there anything else we should be thinking about when it comes to aerobic exercise? Anything we haven't covered yet?
Let's see. This meta-analysis focused mainly on aerobic exercise. But it's important to remember that other types of physical activity can also help with weight loss and overall health.
Oh, right. You're talking about strength training, yoga, Pilates, all that good stuff.
That's it. While those weren't the main focus here, there's growing evidence that they have tons of benefits. Building muscle, improving flexibility, reducing injury risk, and boosting mental well-being.
Sounds like a well-rounded approach to fitness, mixing it all up, might be the best way to get all those awesome health benefits.
I think you're right. The most important thing is to find what works for you and create a fitness routine you actually look forward to. Let's be real. If you don't enjoy it, you won't stick with it.
Totally. Find those activities that bring you joy and make you feel good. And speaking of feeling good, I think it's time to give our listeners a chance to absorb all this amazing information. We've covered so much, but don't worry, we're not done yet. In the next part, we'll get down to the practical stuff and talk about how to apply all this to our everyday lives. Stay tuned. Okay, so we've talked a lot about aerobic exercise, the research, the benefits, the whole shebang. But let's get down to brass tacks. How do we actually use this information? You know, we're all busy people, work, family, life in general. How do we fit it all in?
Right. It's all about putting this knowledge into action. And the good news is, it's not as hard as you might think. Start with realistic goals and find activities that you actually like.
That's key, right? It shouldn't feel like punishment. But say I am convinced. I'm ready to commit to those 150 minutes a week. Where do I even begin?
Well, think about where you are right now. How much are you exercising already? And what do you like to do? Maybe you're already into dancing or swimming, or maybe you just love a good brisk walk out in nature.
Okay, so I figure out my starting point. What's next?
Then it's all about building up gradually. You know, don't go from 0 to 60 overnight. Start with a couple of short sessions each week and then slowly increase the time and intensity as you get stronger.
Slow and steady. I like it. But what happens when I hit a wall? You know, those days when I'm just not feeling motivated or it's tough to squeeze in a workout. What do I do then?
Oh, those days happen to everyone. It's important to have a plan for those days. One thing that can help is to schedule your workouts, just like any other important appointment. Block out the time in your calendar, and don't let anything mess with it.
No more excuses. I'm into it. But what about the motivation piece? How do I stay on track when I'm feeling that couch potato vibe?
Find an accountability partner. Someone who can cheer you on and keep you going. It could be a friend, a family member, or even an online community. Having that support system can make all the difference.
The power of community, right? It's always easier when you've got someone in your corner. But what about when I'm just truly exhausted? Like those days when I need a break. Is it okay to listen to my body and take a rest day?
Of course. Rest is super important. Just as important as the exercise itself. It's how your muscles recover and get stronger. Listen to your body. If you need a break, take a break.
That's good to hear. Now, what about those of us with specific health concerns, maybe some limitations? Should we check in with a doctor before starting a new workout routine?
That is always a good idea, especially if you have any health conditions or injuries. A doctor can help you create a plan that's both safe and effective for you.
Okay, cool. So it sounds like it all comes back to personalization. Find what works for you.
You got it. It's about empowering yourself, taking charge of your health, and making choices that support your well-being.
Speaking of choices, I'm thinking back to that idea of mixing different activities into our routines. We talked about aerobic exercise, but what about strength training, yoga, Pilates? How do those fit in?
Oh, those are great additions. It's important to remember that a holistic view of health includes all kinds of movement.
Right, right. So tell me more about the benefits of those activities. Why are they so good for us?
Well, strength training is key for building muscle, which is super important for your metabolism, bone health, and just overall strength and function. It can also help with things like posture, balance, and coordination.
Makes sense. And yoga and Pilates, what do those bring to the table?
Those are fantastic for flexibility, mobility, and core strength. Plus, they have that calming effect, you know, so they're awesome for stress reduction and mental well-being.
So if you combine all these different activities, it's like a recipe for total body wellness, addressing all aspects of our health.
You got it. It's about finding a balanced, sustainable way to be active that supports you both physically and mentally.
This has been such an incredible deep dive. So much valuable info about aerobic exercise and how powerful it can be for our health and well-being.
It has been awesome exploring all this with you. I hope our listeners are feeling empowered to take all this knowledge and make it work for them.
Exactly. Just remember, it's not about being perfect. It's about making progress. Start small, find things you enjoy, and celebrate those wins along the way.
And don't forget about consistency. Those small, consistent efforts really add up over time.
This has been so inspiring. I'm ready to get moving.
Me too. And if anyone wants to dig deeper into the research itself, we'll link to the full study in GMA Network open in the show notes.
Awesome. Well, that's it for this deep dive. Until next time, happy moving, everyone.
See you on the next one.